The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and put this question to him, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman and died, leaving no descendants. So the second brother married her and died, leaving no descendants. And the third, likewise. And the seven left no descendants. Last of all, the woman also died. At the resurrection, when they arise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had been married to her." Jesus said to them, "Are you not misled, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels in heaven. As for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God told him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You are greatly misled." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Yesterday, if you heard me speak yesterday, I told you about two groups of Israelites, the Pharisees and the Herodians, who try to trap Jesus with a gotcha question. Well, today, we have another gotcha question and another attempt to trap Jesus, but this time it's from a different group. This time it's from the Sadducees. And if you've ever heard the scriptures read, you've certainly heard about the Sadducees. Maybe you've wondered who they are. If you want to know who the Sadducees are, think about them as being like the aristocracy. The Sadducees were a group of priestly royal descendants who lived lives of great wealth and privilege, and they cooperated with the Roman government, and when it came to religion, they were, let's just say, flexible. Because you can always maintain your wealth, privilege, and status as long as you're willing to be flexible with your principles. And that was the Sadducees. So they only believed the first five books of the Bible. If it wasn't in the first five books of the Bible, they didn't believe it, which is why they didn't believe in the idea of the resurrection from the dead, because it doesn't come in the first five books of the Bible. And it's what led to this little gotcha question that they try to pose to Jesus, in which they say, "After all seven, whose wife will she be?" And Jesus answers, not falling into their trap, he answers, "You don't understand the scriptures, and you don't understand the power of God." And in so doing, he tells us a lot about what heaven's going to be like. So let me try to share that with you, okay? First of all, he says, "You don't understand the scriptures." Now, the Sadducees certainly knew the scriptures, right? This whole business of the woman and the seven brothers, it's an echo of something from the book of Tobit. They certainly knew the scriptures, but they didn't understand that God is relational. That's why Jesus says here, he's the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. Now, you can't be in a relationship with someone unless that someone is real. Which means that the real you, sitting there right now, is the same you. Somehow, it's going to be in the kingdom of heaven. And that means you're going to be a male or a female. That means that your body is not an appendage of your soul, destined to be discarded after death, right? I know that when we die, the body is separated from the soul. So body goes into the ground, soul, please God, goes up to heaven. But that's an unnatural state, and it's not permanent. We believe in the resurrection of the body. You weren't made to be an angel. You're made by God to be a male or a female, and you will forever be that. You are the real. I remember once I was talking to a priest who had a discussion with a man who was a gas station attendant. And as soon as the gas station attendant saw that he was a priest, he started talking about heaven. And the, you know, sometimes somebody like a gas station attendant can be a font of great wisdom. And he said to the priest, listen, Padre, speaking of heaven, if the me that's there then isn't the same as the me that's here now, it's not going to do the me that's here now a whole lot of good. And I just want to tell you, it's the real you, okay? So they didn't understand the scripture. Secondly, they didn't understand the power of God. And by that, they tended to assume that life after death was sort of like more life on earth, like the resuscitation of a corpse. And I tell you something really interesting. If you look about all the religions of the world and all the religions of history, basically everybody except for Jesus Christ, you'll find this idea that heaven or the afterlife is just this life writ large and greater. I make a little amateur study of this because I find it fascinating to find out what different cultures, religions thinks coming next. Share a couple of them with you just for fun. Heaven of the Narragansett Indians. The Narragansett are the original inhabitants of Massachusetts. The Plymouth Colony pilgrims found out by talking to them that their concept of heaven was your wigwam was always full with corn, beans, and squash. It was always easy to find a clam by the seaside, and strawberries were always in season. That was heaven, right? The Cheyenne Indians, out from where I'm from, out in Montana, their concept of heaven was that heaven was a campground with all your ancestors. Just like any other campground, just with all your ancestors. And you got there by walking across the sky. And the footsteps of your ancestors are the stars of the Milky Way. Very lyrical, very beautiful. My favorite concept of heaven, though, is the heaven of the Vikings. In the Viking culture, in heaven, you fight your enemies all day. When the sun goes down, all your wounds are healed. All your friends come back to life. And you spend the night drinking ale in a longhouse out of the skulls of your vanquished foes. Heaven for the Vikings. But look at them all, and they'll find one thing in common. They're all so this-worldly. It's just like the best of this world, just writ large. I probably shouldn't say this, but once upon a time I did a funeral, and there was a eulogy, and eulogies are always trouble. And this guy was a partier. And at the eulogy, it was said that he's gone on to the great disco in the sky. No joke. Jesus Christ has a concept of heaven that is unlike any other culture that has ever lived. Never known before. It's like what St. Paul said. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, it's not dawned on your mind what God has prepared for those who love him. Testimony confirmed by the lives of the saints. A couple of my favorite stories. St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm sure you've heard this one before. After writing the Summa Theologica, which was never completed, he had some kind of a mystical vision of Jesus and some kind of a mystical vision of heaven, after which he would not write another word. And all of his brothers in the Dominican house said, Brother Thomas, you have to continue your writing. And Thomas Aquinas says, compared with what I've seen, all of my writing is as so much straw. My favorite story of all, though, is St. John of the Cross, who had a mystical vision of heaven and immediately put pen to paper and tried to describe it. When he got to the bottom of the page, he realized that all he'd written was beauty, 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 beauty. Again and again and again. Some people like to accuse the church of taking earthly realities and projecting them onto God. Like we take a patriarchal understanding of Father and that's why we call God Father. No. The reverse is the case. We take heavenly realities and we see them reflected here on earth. And the greatest reality of all is the reality of all the goodness, beauty, truth you've seen. All of the goodness, all of the love, all of the beauty, all of the truth you've ever known in this life is nothing but a faint shadow of the reality of heaven, which is nothing less than the possession of the infinite God himself. It is your true native land. It is your true home. It's the place you've been longing for all your life, though you will never realize it until you arrive. Let us press on then. Let us press on now through the work and the toil and the crosses of this life, that one day, please God,
will rest in his love in the kingdom of heaven with him forever. And let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. St. Charles Nwanga, pray for us.